So I want to start with a charged statement. I want to see who's going to go on edge. I only can do this so many more times. So here we go. So, are you ready for this? So it's been quite a week in the news, hasn't it? I struck fear into some hearts here. I saw it, you know. Like when you make a statement like that, you're going, what is he going to say next? See the seriousness on some of you. I'm going to like maybe pause and let this build a little bit. See, just kind of see. No, I'm not going to talk politics. That's not what I... Take a breath, everybody. It's okay. What I wanted you to see, something that happened in the news this week in Dallas, and maybe some of you saw it, maybe you didn't, some of you didn't, but it's worth repeating, even if you heard the story, that there was a trial this week, and it was really a tragedy. It was the story of a former Dallas police officer who shot and killed a man in his own apartment because she thought it was her apartment. And Botham Jean was the gentleman who was killed in his own apartment. He was a person of color and a worship leader at his church. And this week was the trial, and it ended in sentencing of a 10-year sentence for Amber Guyer, this former Dallas police officer. And it's a real tragedy all the way around. But what caught my attention in this story was the fact that as she was sentenced and the trial was coming to an end, Botham Jean, the one who was shot and killed, his brother, Brant, asked to address Amber Guyer. And in that, he went to talk to her and then asked permission to give her a hug. And this is what he said to the woman who shot and killed his brother. I love you like anyone else. I don't even want you to go to jail. I want what's best for you because I know exactly what Botham would want. Each and every one of us may have done something that we're not supposed to do. And if we're truly sorry, and I know I can speak for myself, I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. Now that's not the only reaction in the courtroom at that moment. It was mixed. Matter of fact, the judge, when she heard this and saw the hug, it moved the judge to tears, and she actually gave Amber, who's going to prison for 10 years, gave her one of her Bibles. But like I said, it was a mixed emotion in the courtroom. Not everyone felt that way. Some of the Jean family were angry that she only received 10 years in prison when the sentence could have been up to 99 years. They were shaking with anger, not with forgiveness. They were crying out for the fact that they felt that this was an injustice, that she didn't get more time, and yet Brant, the brother, offers forgiveness. Even the prosecutor wanted to give, recommended 28 years in prison, one for each year of Botham Jean's life. Now, the district attorney in Dallas, also a person of color, the one who brought charges that went to trial, after he saw this moment of forgiveness, this is what the district attorney in Dallas said. It's an amazing act of healing and forgiveness that is rare in today's society, especially for many of our leaders. I would hope that the greater community, not just Dallas, but all of Texas and all of the United States, could gain a message from that. This young man, Brant, had the courage to do something that many of us couldn't. I mean, he was offering forgiveness, and he was really part of the family that was a victim. I mean, that's not how it's supposed to work, right? I mean, the one who did the thing should be asking for forgiveness, and then they can decide whether or not they will, you know, kind of grant that forgiveness. In this scenario, kind of in the perfect world, you're like, no, that person has to ask for forgiveness. You don't offer it. But that's exactly what he did. And it's pretty amazing. I mean, I think he did something that many of us couldn't. I mean, Rachel and I talked about this, and if we were in the same shoes, I'm not sure where we would hope to be there, but this is a rare thing. And it says something about his character, and it says something about his faith, that he didn't want to be entangled in bitterness and hatred for the rest of his life. So he decided to move on in love. And the story to me is a reminder that I think this is something that we all need to hold on to, that when all else fails, love. I mean, somebody at first service said, well, why would we begin with love? Because I know the way the human heart works. Sometimes when things don't go to plan, you hate, you rage, you get bitter, you get angry, you give up, you become apathetic. And so that's why I say, when all else fails, when you've tried everything else out and see that it doesn't work, you can always return to love. Now, earlier this week, my friend down there in the second row, Kit, I always, you know, I follow her on Facebook, and you always have some good stuff, and you posted something really good this week, and I immediately said, I'm stealing it for the sermon, and you said, okay. So Kit posted this week. Now you're going to have like 200 new friends, just so you know, on Facebook. She has the greatest stuff, you know. And this is what she posted. Not her. You found it somewhere, and you shared it. So this is what it says. I heard someone say, don't cross oceans for people who wouldn't cross a puddle for you, which I thought was good advice. But then someone else spoke up and said, no, do it. Do cross oceans for people. Love all people. No conditions attached. No wondering whether they are worthy or they're not worthy. Cross oceans, climb mountains. Life and love isn't about what you gain. It's about what you give. And it finishes with, and I changed my mind. Those are good words. It's great words. When all else fails, love. And I told you last week that I was going to spend some time reminding you of what I think are some of the most important things for us to hold on to in my final weeks here. And last week I began this, and of course you can go back online and listen and catch up. I talked about my reminder list. And in this reminder list, one of the things I talked about was sticking together, like being a team, or a grove of redwoods that through their root system they support each other in times of storm and wind. And I'm going to just tell you what I know about the life of every church. People are notorious for stop coming to church when a pastor leaves. They just stop coming. And you know what they say? They say, well, I'm just going to wait for the next pastor to come. And then they kind of take this like church hiatus, and sometimes they come back, and a lot of times they don't. Don't do that. Buck the trend. Don't be like every other church on the planet when a pastor leaves and you stop coming on a regular basis. Don't become a Christmas and Easter worshiper, okay? That's not what God intends for any of us. And I'm going to remind you what I said last week. I am not the main attraction. The people you are sitting around and the people you are sitting with are. You need each other. You do. People need to see your face. And when you're in a tough spot in your life, others can love on you. And that can't happen if you're not here. It just can't. Now, the other thing I told you is don't let go of your DNA as a congregation. Hold on to those core values. I mean, that is literally the secret sauce of what gives clarity to Bethel. There's no reason to go reinvent the wheel. You already have what you need. And it reminds me that in the Old Testament, God is giving instruction to the people of Israel, once again, about the most important things. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is what God says to the people of Israel, and I think it applies to what I'm talking about here. God says, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. So even our God says, look, not only should you love me, but don't forget the most important things. And for us as a congregation, it's about welcoming the stranger. It's about fostering and encouraging Christ-centered community like we're doing here and what we did between services. About growing in faith and responding to those in need, like our mission to Mexico trip, which is one of many things that we do. And always be generous. You say, well, those aren't in the... Yes, they're in the Bible. They're qualities of the kingdom of God. They're all things that Jesus did. Of course, they're biblical. And the only way you won't forget them is by talking about them. The only way that you won't forget them is to lean into them and remember that all of these are always wrapped in love and wrapped in the joy that we have of being together. But here's the thing you need to know. And you already know this, but at least I'm sure you figured this out, that in life, you will not love everyone you meet. Okay? Is that a surprise to anybody? It is a surprise. Okay. You're going to eventually run into somebody that you're not going to love. But here's the thing. You can always be loving, even if they rub you the wrong way. You can always be loving if they're a harsh person to deal with. And I'm going to tell you something. There are people who drive me up the wall, but they don't know it. Are you starting to guess? Starting to wonder? Robin, put your hand down. Okay. See me in my office after church, okay? Okay, yeah, good. And I've told you, and you know this, I have a sharp tongue. And I have to bite it sometimes. I'm sorry I don't do that enough at home. Just, you know, yeah. But here's the thing I'm going to tell you. I've never, ever regretted holding back. Ever. You know what times I regret? The times I didn't hold back. I mean, I think that is why St. Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, he's somewhere near the end of the letter, and he says, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And then he takes this whole chapter and talks about love. Love is the most excellent way to treat others when they deserve it and when they don't deserve it. And that's hard. I would even go as far to say, especially so when they don't deserve it, because honestly, when you're loving to someone who's being mean to you, it really messes with their head. When you're as sweet as a Hostess cupcake, I'm like, they don't, like, what's going on? Loving on people is what makes this a great church. That's what's important. And I know, like, you come to church and there's just certain people. And they may be different for each of us, but there's certain people who you go, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so is so loved. And I'm always so glad to see them because they always give me a hug, or they're always nice to me, or they always reach out to me every time I come. And I know that certain people come to mind when I say that. I'm glad they do that, but I'm going to tell you it's not just their responsibility. Love is what binds us together. If you're willing to get out of your comfort zone and extend yourselves. Now, some of you, it just comes naturally, but for others of us, this is the encouragement of like, yeah, I know, I get it, I'm an introvert too, I am. I mean, I go home after this and I sleep because I've given like 5 hours of everything I got and I'm exhausted. I love it, but I'm exhausted. Now, here's the deal. If I can try and make an attempt to talk to most of you on a Sunday morning in a loving way, and take note, I am not a morning person. If I can do it, you can too. And I'm not even asking you to talk to everybody. But for those of you who kind of hold back, it's time to kind of cross that barrier and be a part of that loving network that we all need. I mean, don't get me wrong. We mostly do that. I'm not chastising anybody here, right? That's not what I'm about. But I don't want you to forget it once I'm gone, because I won't be here to cheerlead and champion that. So I want to leave this with you so that you're like, you know, percolating on this stuff. Because I'm going to tell you right here, right now, in this service, I don't know who it is, but someone needs to know that they're cared for. God knows, the Spirit knows. And people come into this place wanting to know, does somebody else care? And so it's up to us to make sure that we don't let people slip through the cracks, because they might not even tell us that they're hungry for something. I mean, I've probably talked about this verse way too much, but I believe it's a core to Christianity. Jesus at the Last Supper, he's just excused Judas to go do what Judas is about to go do, betray him. And with those remaining 11, Jesus is like sharing his heart, because he knows he's going to die. He's sharing his heart. So Jesus says, look, I want you to know that after I'm gone, people will recognize you. People will recognize you as one of mine, not because of the rules you set, and not because you have perfect theology or some sort of righteous holy living or power or rhetoric or purity or clubs. People will recognize you by how you love. I mean, Jesus wasn't all that about, you know, you have to believe it this way and it has to be, you know, love. We lead with love. No matter if people are nice to you or indifferent to you or just plain rude, no matter if they give you great Christmas presents or just socks and underwear for Christmas, you just gotta love them all. James Moore, an author, he tells about a guy named George. And George was one of these kind of larger-than-life people who got along with everybody. Great sense of humor, fun, kind. Everybody loved him at church. Everybody loved him at work. He worked in a hospital. Just this all around. Nobody had a ill thing to say about George. But his children remember that when he got sick, really for the last time before he passed, he ended up being in the hospital that he worked at for so many years. And so even while his family was spending time with him, folks from the hospital would stop by to visit, including the administrator. The head of the hospital stopped by, and George and the administrator, they talked like they were old friends, because they were. A few minutes later, one of the janitors came in to visit George, not to clean the room, but to visit. And they too had a nice visit. And after that was over, you know, George's kids were in there, adult children. And they said, Dad, it's just amazing. Do you realize that you treated the administrator of the hospital and the janitor exactly the same way, just like old friends? And George smiled, and he said this to his kids. I like this. He's like, hey, let me ask you something. If the administrator left for 2 weeks and the janitor left for 2 weeks, which one would be missed more? Right? So I always treat Dan nice, right there. Well, Dan waved everybody. I mean, I'm almost nice to him most of the time, right? Yes. So that's the point, you know. Be loving to everybody, not just those of high stature, but just everybody. But George then, he pulls out something that he always kept in his pocket. Some people do. They have pocket crosses. Well, he had a pocket cross. And it was a marble pocket cross. And on one side it says, God loves you. And he showed his kids that. And then he flipped it over. And on the other side was the golden rule. You know the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he says to his adult children, he says, look, the cross reminds me of how much God loves me. And yet the marble, the hard stone of this reminds me of how serious God is and how deeply God wants me to also love others. So here's what I tell you. This is the way I began. I'm just going to finish this way. When all else fails, you love. And you love all the way until you are held within those nail-scarred hands of Jesus, the arms of love, the hands of love, where you'll be with him and with each other forever. Amen.
You don't have a job. Don't pay your bills. Won't buy you a home in Beverly Hills. Won't fix your life in 5 easy steps. Ain't the law of the land, but the government. But it's all you need. And love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And I'll be my brother's keeper, till the whole world will know that we're not alone. And it's waiting for you. It's the floor, and you're on your knees. And love will hold us together, make us a shelter to weather the storm. And I'll be my brother's keeper, till the whole world will know that we're not alone. This is the first be alright. This is the first day of the rest of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your life. But even in the dark, you can still see the light. It's gonna be alright. It's gonna be alright. In love.